If you'll open your Bibles tonight to Revelation chapter 9, I'm going to cover the rest of this chapter and hopefully chapter 10 tonight. Beginning in verse 13, Revelation chapter 9. Then the sixth angel sounded, and I heard a voice from the four horns of the golden altar, which is before God, saying to the sixth angel who had the trumpet, "Release the four angels who are bound at the great river Euphrates." So the four angels who had been prepared for the hour and day and month and year were released to kill a third of mankind. Now the number of the army of the horsemen was 200 million. I heard the number of them. And thus I saw the horses in the vision. Those who sat on them had breastplates of fiery red, a hyacinth blue, and sulfur yellow. And the heads of the horses were like the heads of lions. And out of their mouths came fire, smoke, and brimstone. By these three plagues, a third of mankind was killed by the fire and the smoke and the brimstone which came out of their mouths. For their power is in their mouth and in their tails. For their tails are like serpents, having heads, and with them they do harm. But the rest of mankind who were not killed by these plagues did not repent of the works of their hands, that they should not worship demons and idols of gold and silver and brass and stone and wood, which can neither see nor hear nor walk. And they did not repent of their murders or their sorceries or their sexual immorality or their thefts. Chapter 10. I saw still another mighty angel coming down from heaven, clothed with a cloud, and a rainbow was on his head. His face was like the sun, and his feet like pillars of fire. He had a little book open in his hand, and he sat his right foot on the sea and his left foot on the land, and cried with a loud voice, as when a lion roars. Then he cried out, seven thunders uttered their voices. Now when the seven thunders uttered their voices, I was about to write, but I heard a voice from heaven saying to me, "Seal up the things which the seven thunders uttered, and do not write them." The angel whom I saw standing in the sea and on the land raised up his hand to heaven and swore by him who lives forever and ever, who created heaven and the things that are in it, the earth and the things that are in it, and the sea and the things that are in it, that there should be no delay no longer. But in the days of the sounding of the seventh angel, when he was about to sound, the mystery of God would be finished, as he declared to his servants the prophets. Then the voice which I heard from heaven spoke to me again and said, "Go, take the little book which is open in the hand of the angel who stands on the sea and on the earth." So I went to the angel and said to him, "Give me the little book." And he said to me, "Take and eat it, and it will make your stomach bitter, but it will be as sweet as honey in your mouth." Then I took the little book out of the angel's hand and ate it, and it was as sweet as honey in my mouth. But when I had eaten it, my stomach became bitter. And he said to me, "You must prophesy again about many peoples, nations, tongues, and kings." It's like peeling back a curtain, and we're seeing a different look at the Lamb of God, at our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. And we're seeing Him in all of His glory, and we're seeing Him as the divine judge of all the earth. He's holding the seven sealed scroll in His hand, and He's taking one seal at a time. He's breaking that seal, and this is unleashing judgments upon the earth, which are designed by God to purify Israel, to purge Israel, to prepare them for the coming of their Messiah, and to punish those people who have come against the Jews. And He's going to punish the nations. It's the 70th week of Daniel. That's what we're looking at here, the seven-year tribulation period. And remember, the seventh seal opened up seven trumpets, seven trumpet judgments. And we're going through those trumpet judgments right now. And each one of those trumpets happens to be a judgment of God being poured out on the earth to accomplish that goal of purging Israel and punishing the nations. So we're seeing this unfold. This is the book of the Revelation. Jesus Christ is the one who's carrying out these judgments. And we're going to pick up our study tonight as the sixth angel is going to sound the trumpet, chapter 9, verse 13. And keep in mind, the writer of Hebrews teaches us of how much greater punishment shall he be thought worthy who hath trodden underfoot the Son of God and counted the blood of the covenant with which he was set apart an unholy thing and done despite to the Spirit of grace. There are people who are going to reject the gospel. They're going to reject Jesus Christ. And we're going to see here tonight, and we talked about it last time, that even with all that's going to happen on the earth, with all of the judgments that are going to be poured out on the earth by God, and even with the preaching of the 144,000, and even with the preaching of the two witnesses, and even with the preaching of this great angel that's going to come through, and he's going to be calling men to repent, to turn to the Lord Jesus. Even with all of that, men are still going to rebel. They're going to rebel against God. They're going to rebel against His Son. If you'll look at Psalm 2, you remember that. Psalm 2 talks about that. That God has established Jesus Christ to rule over the earth, and fallen men will not have Him to rule over them. And then God is going to pour out His judgment on the earth. But with that in mind, as an introduction, could we pray together? Father, would you open to us the teaching ministry of your word tonight, and would it be clear and understandable to every person in this room? Father, give me clarity of thought and give me the ability with words to communicate what you want communicated. In Jesus' name, amen. Verse 13, then the sixth angel sounded, and I heard a voice from the four horns of the golden altar which is before God. Horns in Scripture represent power and judgment. And this reminds us of the four horns on the corner of the brazen altar where the sacrifices were brought, and there they were offered and burned, symbolizing that God's judgment was being carried out and God's justice was being satisfied. Well, that's what's going on here with the judgments being poured out on the earth. God's judgments are being revealed and God's justice is being satisfied. But it also teaches us these horns, this altar, is in heaven. And remember, there's a real temple in heaven. The temple on the earth was a replica. It was a symbol. But there is a corresponding real temple in heaven. That's where Jesus Christ carried His blood. Remember in Hebrews chapter 9, He carried His blood in before the very presence of God. And He offered His blood as a propitiation for the sins of the many. So verse 14, saying to the sixth angel who had the trumpet, release the four angels who are bound at the great river Euphrates. So here we see four fallen angels that have been bound at the Euphrates River are going to be released. And they are going to be the leaders of a second demonic invasion of the earth. This is the sixth trumpet judgment being poured out. Verse 15, so the four angels who had been prepared for the hour and day and month and year were released to kill a third of mankind. I want you to note something very carefully. Every word is here by design. We see here the sovereignty of God being carried out in detail. Remember, He has planned the end from the beginning. And every detail down to the very year, the very month, the very day, and the very hour. Is that not amazing? He's not going to miss a thing. There are no accidents on this planet. God is in control of His creation. The first attack of this demonic force, remember, back in the chapter before, was designed to inflict pain, the scorpion sting, cause men, human beings, misery for 5 months with no relief, but not to kill. In fact, they were told not to kill. And remember, they were also, the scripture said that human beings will be so in such pain that they will attempt to die, kill themselves, but they can't die. But here we find just the opposite. We find these angels are commanded to kill 1/3 of the earth population. So the second woe is indeed worse than the first woe, because now we see 1/3 of the population of the earth is going to be killed. Think of that. We throw terms around like, well, they're just words. But think of that meaning. That would literally mean that millions of people are going to die with this judgment. Millions of people. Verse 16, now the number of the army of the horsemen was 200 million, and I heard the number of them. There have been many who have speculated that it's talking about the Chinese army here. And this speculation came because China boasted years ago that it could field an army of over 200 million men. Well, I don't doubt that. But we're not talking about the Chinese here. These are demons. These are demon spirits. This group is going to be mentioned again in chapter 14. The kings of the east are going to be involved in the bowl judgment in chapter 14. And there's a group of people who want to say again, it's going to be China. Well, the east in Scripture never refers to China. When east is used, it's referring to Mesopotamia, which is modern-day Turkey, Iraq, and Iran. The east, Mesopotamia. And here's talking about the Euphrates River, which is, we're going to see, is near Babylon. So 200 million are demons who are led by four demons. And the source of the invasion is the Euphrates River, which is not located in China, but in Mesopotamia. And it's located near ancient Babylon, which is a place in Scripture that's strictly connected to demonism. And we're going to see what's going to happen to Babylon later on in the Word of God. It's an interesting city that's going to be rebuilt. And one day it will become the capital city of the beast and the false prophet, the Antichrist and his press agent. Now the description is found in verses 17 through 19. Let's read it. And thus I saw the horses in the vision. Those who sat on them had breastplates of fiery red, hyacinth blue, and sulfur yellow. And the heads of the horses were like heads of lions. And out of their mouths came fire and smoke and brimstone. By these three plagues, 1/3 of mankind was killed by the fire and the smoke and the brimstone which came out of their mouths. For their power is in their mouth and in their tails. For their tails are like serpents, having heads, and with them they do harm. Now there are many people who I've read, many commentaries, who see in this tanks and helicopters and all kinds of modern weapons. Until God tells me that's the case, I'm going to go with the literal, if you don't mind. Now, I don't understand this. I mean, I can't even imagine in my worst day of imagination something that looked like this, as hideous as this is. But I'm going with God's Word. I'm hanging with what it says, even down to the colors. A person would be hard-pressed to find one Chinese person who looks like this, much less 200 million who look like this. The army's description here is not human, and it requires that they be demonic. Verse 20, but the rest of mankind who were not killed by these plagues, notice, did not repent of the works of their hands, that they should not worship demons, and idols of gold and silver and brass and stone and wood, which can neither see nor hear nor walk. And they did not repent of their murders or their sorceries or their sexual immorality. That's why I went through the session that we went through last week as we closed the session, if you'll remember, and we talked about the various earth religions that are growing now like crazy all over the planet. Paul's argument to Timothy about in the last days what's going to happen with this spread of false religions all over the earth. People worshiping demons. People worshiping Satan. We're going in that direction. People worshiping gods other than Jehovah. We're moving very rapidly toward that. And that's why they're not going to change their mind. Now that's, to me, that is an amazing thing. With the sixth trumpet, there's an attack of 200 million demons. And we have the preaching of the 144,000. And we're going to factor in, beginning next week, two witnesses are going to be preaching the gospel. And they're going to die, and supernaturally God is going to resurrect them. And they're going to be preaching the gospel of the kingdom. And this great angel is going to be preaching the gospel of the kingdom. Can you picture all of that? And yet, men are so hard. Men are so defiant of God that they will not change their mind. They will not change from their murders, their sorceries, their sexual immorality. It's unimaginable to me that with all that's going on, you know, I'd like to think if that were happening today, I would run to the Savior. I would change my mind. I would gladly hear the gospel. I would look for the door, the way out. But they do not. But think of it. Remember, there were people on the earth who rejected Jesus Christ in spite of his miracles, and the Jews never denied the miracles. They denied the source of the miracles. They said he's doing it by the power of Satan, but they didn't deny the miracles. They didn't deny that he had raised the dead, witnessed the miracles. They heard the preaching. Can you imagine the preaching they heard from Jesus Christ? And they did not repent. Isaiah writes, "Lord, who has believed our report? And to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed?" And they grew hard against the good news. And they grew so hard that God himself kept them from believing. It says, "He has blinded their eyes and hardened their heart, so that they would not see with their eyes and perceive with their heart and be converted, and I heal them." God hardened their hearts that they did not believe. That's what's going on in the tribulation. They did not repent. Today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts. Today is the day of salvation. If you've never trusted Christ, there's no better time than right now. Because we're not guaranteed another heartbeat, another breath. Today is the day of salvation. And I know no greater motive than to be preaching the gospel than what's going on right here. What we see coming on the horizon. As we peel back the windows and we look into the book of Revelation and we see what God has in store. It's an amazing thing. And now we're going to see in chapter 10, a pause in the judgments. It's a quiet. You remember back several weeks ago, we had a stopping of all the wind from blowing. Everything grew deathly silent. Or we're going to have another pause like that right here. But what's going on here is that this is like being in the eye of the storm. Things are quiet now. In chapter 10, verse 1, "And I saw still another mighty angel coming down from heaven, clothed with a cloud. And a rainbow was on his head. His face was like the sun, and his feet like pillars of fire. He had a little book open in his hand. And he set his right foot on the sea, and his left foot on the land." This little book is, in the original language, is a second scroll that's mentioned in the book of Revelation. The first scroll, remember, was the seven sealed scroll, which contained, obviously, the seven seals and the seven trumpet judgments in the first half of the tribulation. What's happening here is we've reached the middle of the tribulation now. We've gone through the first 3.5 years, and we have a pause. Like I said, we're in the eye of the storm, and here's this angel who's got this little book, this little scroll, and he has his foot, one foot on the land, one foot on the sea, and something is about to happen here. And there's tremendous significance of the angel standing one foot on the land and one foot on the sea, because that represents the entire earth. And what we're reading here is that God is about to reclaim what belongs to Him. Jesus Christ is going to reclaim the earth. He's the rightful owner. And He's going to remove Satan from his power. He's going to put down all rebellion. Psalm 2, I recommend highly that you read it before tonight's over with. So He's got this little book in His hand. He's got His right foot on the sea and His left foot on the land. And verse 3, and cried with a loud voice as when a lion roars. When he cried out, seven thunders uttered their voices. Now when the seven thunders uttered their voices, I was about to write, but I heard a voice from heaven saying to me, seal up the things which the seven thunders uttered, and do not write them. This strong angel cried with a great voice, something that caused John to realize that he was forbidden to reveal whatever it was. It's interesting. Up to this point, six of the seven trumpets have sounded. There is one more to follow. Keep that in mind. We have seven trumpets. We've opened now six of those seven trumpets. The strong angel now announces the result of the seventh trumpet, beginning in verse 5. The angel whom I saw standing on the sea and on the land raised up his hand to heaven and swore by Him who lives forever and ever, who created heaven and the things that are in it, the earth and the things that are in it, and the sea and the things that are in it, that there should be delay no longer. Now that's important. No more delay. But in the days of the sounding of the seventh angel, when he is about to sound, now notice, the mystery of God would be finished as He declared to His servants, the prophets. Everything the prophets said about God's reclamation of the earth is about to happen here. All that the prophets spoke concerning the day of the Lord, the tribulation, is about to be fulfilled here. In the days of the seventh angel, the judgments of God will be completed. Just as the seventh seal judgment contained the seven trumpet judgments, now notice, the seventh trumpet judgment will contain the seven bowl judgments. See, what's happened is, when those first seven seals were peeled off and opened and the judgments poured out on the earth, when Jesus got to the seventh seal, it opened seven trumpets. Now, we're coming down through the seven trumpets, judgments being poured out, and we get to the seventh trumpet, it opens seven bowls. And the wrath just continues to increase. God continues to turn it up a notch, turn it up a notch. The judgment is powerful. And the seven bowl judgments will finish the judgments of God declared by the prophets. Hence, the mystery of God will be finished. The seventh trumpet judgment will not happen all at once. It won't be one event that takes place, and that will be the seventh trumpet. No. He says here in verse 7, in the days, plural, of the voice of the seventh angel is the mystery of God finished. In other words, it's a time period. It takes place over days. A time is involved. The bowl judgments are the third woe. The bowl judgments just precede the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, but they will be the absolute worst of all. It's like God just pours it on just prior to the breaking of day. That's the way it works. When things look the darkest, here comes the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the picture I want to place in your mind. We see all of the wrath of God being poured out on the earth. It's been increased from the seals to the trumpets. And then we're going to see through the bowls, things get worse and wax worse and worse and worse. And then Jesus Christ comes back. That's the picture. But then everything sort of focuses down on this little scroll, this little book. That's what happens here. Watch. Here we go. Verse 8. Then the voice which I heard from heaven spoke to me again and said, go, take the little book which is open in the hand of the angel who stands on the sea and on the earth. You know what's in that little book? The seven bowl judgments are in that little book. The judgments just prior to the second coming of Jesus Christ are in that little book. That's why it's a scroll that's going to be unrolled. And we're going to see those seven bowl judgments in Revelation 15 and 16. Now let's look in verse 9. So I went to the angel and said to him, give me the little book. And he said to me, take and eat it, and it will make your stomach bitter, make you sick, but it will be as sweet as honey in your mouth. Then I took the little book out of the angel's hand and ate it, and it was sweet as honey in my mouth. And when I had eaten it, my stomach became bitter. So John was commanded to eat the book. In the mouth it was sweet, but in the stomach later on it became bitter. And the key that unlocks it is verse 11. Look at it. And he said to me, you must prophesy again about many peoples and nations and tongues and kings. The content of this little book is prophecy. Is prophecy fun to study for some people? They love to study prophecy because they want to know the future. And I guess that would be one way of saying it sort of tastes sweet in our mouth. And the one thing about prophecy that to me is overwhelming is it points to the second coming of Jesus Christ. It lets us know, A, it's going to happen. And in many cases, it tells us that the coming is soon. It couldn't be much longer. As we see the events in this book being fulfilled in history, we know that the second coming is just around the corner. It can't be that much longer. So it's sweet because it contains information concerning the second coming of Jesus Christ. He has been the hope of millions throughout several generations of history. Even so, come quickly, Lord Jesus. All of my teachers that I had in seminary, all of the older men that taught me, their hope was the second coming of the Savior. Our hope here tonight is the second coming of the Savior. We're looking for Him. We want Him to come back. Now, we don't understand all that's going to happen to us, and there's a certain fear in all of us, and we face the unknown, but we want Him to come back. That is, He's the blessed hope of history. That was what is sweet here. But what about the bitter? It said it's bitter in your stomach. The bitter is the fact that the events that precede the second coming of Jesus Christ will be, the closest thing that we can come to today would be the flood. That's the closest my mind can get, is the flood. The killing of millions of people. Making the Holocaust, the extermination of 3 million Jews, look tame in comparison. That's what we're talking about. That's the bitterness. The bowl judgments contain carnage like the world cannot imagine. That's the bitterness. He said it was sweet. Lord Jesus, come. But it was bitter. The carnage that will precede the second coming of Jesus Christ. So we have chapter 10 introduces the reader to the eye of the storm. The little book contains the storm that follows the sounding of the seventh trumpet, which heralds, here it is, the imminent return and reign of the Lord Jesus Christ, and it will usher in that long anticipated day. I want to close with Revelation chapter 11, verse 15. Then the seventh angel sounded, and there were loud voices in heaven saying, the kingdom of the world has become the kingdom of our Lord and of his Christ, and he will reign forever and ever. Father, would you take the meditations of my heart, and would you take my lips, my words, and would you be pleased to magnify Jesus Christ? Father, help us to see just briefly and at a glimpse what John saw and how it must have amazed him. And Father, help us to realize that the kingdom reign of Jesus Christ on the earth will be limited to 1,000 years. But that kingdom will usher in a state of everlasting rebuilding of a new heaven and a new earth, wherein will dwell righteousness forever and ever and ever. And that 1,000-year reign of Christ will move into an eternal reign of the Messiah, the Lord Jesus Christ, who for us will forever remain the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name, amen.